anything to hear my voice? What's that? It's a tape.
Oh, recorder.
Okay. Very modern. Homage to the Buddha, Dhamma, the Sangha. Homage to all the teachers in the past and the present. Tonight, I'm very happy to have a chance to talk to you again about the teaching of the Lord Buddha. The Four Truths. I think many of you, or some of you, have heard. However, I would do my best to explain to you, to inspire you, so that you can practice according to what the Buddha taught. Before coming to this topic, I'd like to talk briefly about the virtues of the Buddha. The three main virtues of the Buddha is purity, compassion, and wisdom. So, our Buddha has spent for so many lives, you know, what we call practicing generosity, morality, effort, tolerance, meditation, and wisdom. So many lives. So what he's doing, the main one, in order to achieve enlightenment, is to practice morality. So he has to purify himself first. Very important that this part, because if we cannot follow this, there's no progress in the practice, because stopping what we call the doing the bad karma is necessary. So once he practiced morality, then he practiced meditation, and then he can develop his own wisdom. So through his purity, he achieved what we call great compassion. So compassion can come because of the purity of the body, of the speech, and of the mind. So without purity of the bodily action, of the speech and the mind, compassion is not possible. So you must be able to control what you call your own body, your own mouth, and your own mind. So you can have a purity. Then great compassion arrives, and then you can spread that even without doing anything in particular for the happiness of others. You can spread, like when you sit and meditate, radiate loving kindness to all living beings. May I be happy first. May all living beings be well and happy. So this kind of compassion is necessary. Taught by the Buddha, we must maintain this. So be a good person, lot of kindness and compassion, and then the great virtue of Buddha is wisdom. He taught us about the four truths. The wisdom in Buddhism means understanding the four noble truths. The suffering, easy to remember, the cause of the suffering, the end of the suffering, the path leading to the end of the suffering. We have to understand that when he taught this teaching, when this kind of sermon is given by the Buddha, he gave to the five disciples who have lived a very good life, what we call a strict moral life, and who practice a lot of meditation. So he gave this first teaching to his five disciples in a deer park over 2,552 years ago, long time ago. So when you come to Varanasi, that the oldest city in the world, more than 3,000, maybe 4,000 years, that city is there from the Buddha's time up until now 2552. So it's beyond that, very old city. Never forget, it's the place close, the place where the Buddha gave his first sermon. It's not far, 80 kilometers from the city. Not very far, so very popular place. And when we go there, we always do the chanting about this teaching, what we call the Dhammajagga, the wheel of the law, given by the Buddha on that spot. So when I go there, every time I go in there, they chant this teaching, the wheel of the law. So he gave this teaching to the five disciples who practice morality and who have practiced meditation. So talking to them about the suffering of life, that means that the one who gave a sermon, the Buddha himself, free from suffering, and the one who listened to the Buddha also free from at least that mental suffering. There's no suffering. Very peaceful, very happy to hear from the Buddha. So it's not negative at all. Very positive. The Buddha himself, free from suffering, and the one who listened to the talk also have a very good practice and very good meditation, and listen to the Buddha, what he taught about the truth, what they call of life. And before you come to this, you have to remember again that when the Buddha was a lay person, was a young prince, so they tried their best to look after him. They like to see him as a great king of India, not as a great teacher of the world. So they kept him in palace, three palaces, one for the summertime, one for the rain season, and the other for the winter time. So he kept him away from a sick person, old age person. He kept him away from the dead person. He didn't have a chance to see this at all. Because what the fortune teller said, or the advisor, spiritual advisor said, that as soon as this young prince saw the old man, the sick man, and the dead man, this prince would leave the palace. So they kept him away from this unfortunate thing. So he didn't have a chance to see. But then one day, of course, for so many years, he was 29, he had a chance to come out and see the old man, the sick man, and the dead man. And also he saw the monk. He had two kinds of feeling. One is what we call in Pali, hard to translate, it's Sangveka. Like you feel shocked and dismayed when you see something so so sad, so desperate, so it come what you call this. You feel you have a feeling that you don't like to see what happened to the human being, and if yourself are in that position, you will be in big trouble. That kind of feeling, so it happened to him, what we call Sangveka. But then, this have to come together and Satta, inspiration. So whatever you see, if this kind of feeling come to you, you are a very good person, you are on the way, what they call to the freedom from suffering. See the sadness of the body, or have a sadness when we look at the body, and then you have inspiration to go beyond that kind of suffering. This arises in Buddha. So when he saw this, he thought, if all of us have to grow old, get sick and die this way, then life has no purpose. Life will be what they call in great suffering. So he liked to find out the way beyond this hell suffering. How to go beyond this? And then he saw the monk sitting and meditating. That's it. That would be the way. But in fact, in the long past, our Buddha have done this way, because if you don't see the suffering, then there is no urge, no inspiration to find out the cause of the suffering or the way that goes beyond the suffering. So you have to see the suffering as it is first, and then you have to find out the cause. So this helped him to leave the palace. So if he stay with them, he will grow old, get sick, and die, and no way to escape from suffering. So when he left the palace with his attendant Channa, he walked to the southern part of the kingdom and shaved his head, and then practiced meditation for 6 years. He has a great, what they call, success in meditation. But meditation alone under the two famous teachers did not lead him to enlightenment. So he had to give up and practice more what they call self-mortification, not eating for so many days. But even that way did not lead him to enlightenment. And then he come to realize that what we call the cause of the suffering is not with the body, but with the mind. And he saw that the hidden path, the hidden way, and is the way. So he back to having food again and practice more meditation. But this time, he was very successful. He have a food from the lady Sujata, and ate her food, and then he went to he went across just before crossing the river. They have the what they call atitana, or like a determination or testing himself whether he can be enlightened or not. So he placed the empty tray on in the water and saying to himself that if I'm having a chance to attain enlightenment, may this tray run against the stream. If not, may it run according to the current. So very fortunate that the trail run against the stream as far as his eye could see and drop. That means if he like to achieve anything, he have to go against the worldly way, against the greed, against hatred, against delusion. Go as far as he could see, like to the place where greed and hatred and delusion arise. So come back to the what we call the original mind, where the greed and hatred and delusions is stored. So he know that that's the way, and then he got there the seed, what they call from the kusa grass, ate what they call there. They give him, they make him, he make that from the grass, he make a seed, and he sit there and looking for the best direction, which direction and what direction is the best. So he found out that the eastern direction is the best. The direction that toward the river and toward the east. You can see something from this now. Buddhism flourish in the eastern direction first before it spread to many parts of the world. And then Buddhism is strong, very strong in this eastern direction. So see the sun rising, and he practiced under that Bodhi tree. First he can recollect what we call the insight into the past, remember what happened to him. And then second, he can have the insight that can understand the life of all human beings, the past and the future. And then before dawn, he achieved what they call enlightenment. So what he really achieve is the what we call the freedom from suffering. So when we come to this four truth, we talk to the five disciples. First, what he said that if we're going to come to the end of the suffering, two things have to be away from. First is the sensual pleasures. It's fun, it's a must, no? But don't be afraid, don't be frightened, no? Sensual pleasures and self-mortification. These two things have to avoid if you would like to come to the path that leads you to the end of the suffering. So have to remember. No? So when we practice meditation, when they come to the practice, you make sure that your mind is away from liking and disliking, away from what you have seen, away from what you have heard, away from what you have tasted and have touched. Try to be away from this kind of distractions. Anything to do with the sensual pleasure, by having one single mind, yeah, you can see that away from this, because the mind can rest, can be peaceful, can be very calm. So, and then if there is anything at all, what you call the ill feeling, unhappy feeling arise you, try to stop it, try to minimize it, or try to let go of it. So two things in practice, liking and disliking. What roughly speaking, we can say greed and hatred, or lust and anger, have to avoid. So when we practice meditation, or in our daily life, whatever you do, away from this kind of feeling, what you call wholesome thought, away from greed and away from hatred. Because the one who practice the teaching is not the body itself, it's not your mouth, but the mind that working on the path. Remember, the mind that walking on the path is the one who practice the teaching of the Lord Buddha. So the mind, once the mind is wholesome, away from greed, away from anger, you are on the right path, the middle path, which we call the fourth truth. So, and then he talked about the four truths. So suffering comes first. Why is so necessary to talk about it? Why is so important? Why we are classed as number one? Something we have to know. Something we have to acknowledge, something we have to, what we call, to understand. Never forget, you know, any kind of knowledge you have, no matter how wonderful it is, if not about your physical suffering and mental suffering, that kind of knowledge is not good, because not helpful to yourself, doesn't help you to achieve happiness and peace in your life. So you must know this. And then what he said in detail, birth is suffering, old age is suffering, sickness is suffering, and death is suffering. And not only that, soka means despair or sadness, priteva, and something of like a disappointment, or tukha, the physical pain or physical suffering, and then domanasa, the mental suffering, and then to separate from what you love or whom you love, or to associate with whom you don't like, this what the Buddha called the suffering. Or in brief, any kind of attachment to the form, to the body, to the feeling, to the perception, to mental activities, and to the consciousness, this we call the suffering. So you see that the suffering, you have to know, you have to understand. Physical suffering and mental suffering, that would be enough. Have to understand that, because you're going to live through your own life. Own age take place, sickness take place, and death take place. So if you don't understand it, how you can escape from this kind of suffering? No chance. Have to understand it properly. So the suffering is something you have to know. You can't let go of it. the suffering of body would be there. But the one thing you have to understand, that the body, what you call the four elements, have the aging process. The sickness there, the death there, and separation will take place. So the four elements, now we come to the two kinds of truth, the conventional one and ultimate one. The conventional one, this is my body. We take it just for the convenience. It's me, you, like that, for the convenience. Otherwise, how we can recognize each other, you know? So we have to go beyond the conventional one. See this as the four elements. Who goes through the aging process? The four elements go through the aging process. Who experiences the sickness? The four elements experience the sickness. Who is death? The four elements are death. So, and then back to who knows all of this? It's the mind. You can see that? The mind that knows. Then talking about the mind, who knows that this is the body, this is the four elements. But even that what we call the four elements, the earth, the water, the air, and the five elements, is the conventional truth. We name them, but in fact they're just the phenomena, what you call physical phenomena. So who knows it? The mind knows it. No, this is the body, this is the old age, this is the sickness, this is the old age, this is separation, this body again, this is a feeling, this is the mental activities, this consciousness. The mind knows it. And then we back to it. Doesn't the mind have old age like the body? Doesn't the mind have the sickness like the body? Doesn't mind die like the body? Say no. And then come, who is in suffering then? The body itself know its own suffering? No. The element know their own suffering? No. Like the sinner doesn't know its own test. The salt water doesn't know its own test. So who knows then? The mind knows it. Why we are in suffering? Because of the attachment of the mind to the body. Once you come to understand that, oh, I have to, what you call, let go what happened to me, old age and sickness take place, I accept as the truth. I don't have anything to do with it. Let it run by itself. My mind is beyond that. I don't attach to this. So once you let go of that kind of attachment, you are happy. You're free from suffering. This is why we have to understand this kind of suffering. It helps us a lot. Very helpful. Otherwise, when the body gets sick, get old, and this body die, a lot of trouble, sadness, and all sorts of things happening. So many kinds of suffering would happen because of what they call the ignorance. So once the five disciples understand this truth, the first one get enlightened. They come to know the truth. So we can say that the very important thing that when we practice the teaching in a higher level, we have to let go the ego, the ego feeling that this my body, myself, like that, my happiness, my suffering, have to let go, because that is the conventional one. So once the ego is not there, there's no room for suffering. Even this body, of course, it conventionally is me. Ultimately, it's not. So once you understand that, if anything happens, you let go. Because your own mind will not be in suffering. So we can say this. First, there is suffering of the body, but there is no sufferer. Remember, there is suffering, but in fact, there is no suffering. There is no sufferer. That's the ultimate one. Because the sufferer, because they suffer because that knowing mind attached to the decaying body, attached to the painful body, attached to the sick body, attached to the dead body. So if we remove our attachment from the body, the suffering is not there. So why this kind of knowledge is very, very helpful, make us feel happy right through. Because that's the truth. We are in trouble because of not understanding the truth. And then when it comes to what we call there, the cause of the suffering, so easy to understand, because the attachment, or in very simple term, they say that craving and desire, craving for the sensual pleasures, that is, of course, when it comes to this, you have to remember that as a lay person who still have friendship and have to have family, look after family and so on, and married a husband and wife, we do have this kind of sensual pleasures. But with the what they call strict moral conduct applied with, so you must observe the five precepts strictly, so that you can survive happily without having any trouble. Deep in your mind, you understand the truth that one day I have to depart from my family. I have to go alone. I get sick. I get old, and I die. So all the good karma that I have done would be with me. So this is very important. Anything you do, anything at all, it stays with you. So if you're a good boy from Malaysia, say, or from Indonesia, here you are a good boy. Understand? But you don't have to bring anything along. Just your own, yourself, you become a good boy. Your wisdom, your knowledge, all that come along with you. So after this, you go back. You're still a good boy, a good girl, you know. Because this is born with you. You're born again next life, still a good boy. Or maybe good monk, you know. So this is the virtue that born inside. Everything have to train, you know. It won't come by chance. There's no such thing. What you call the law or the karma. You do good, you receive good. You do bad, you receive bad. No, just by chance I have this. There's no nothing like that. Always have to do ourselves. So if you like to live happily, you have to have a good conduct, good moral conduct. So away from the bad karma. What we call the bad karma, the action, that means killing, physical action, killing, stealing, committing sexual conduct, and drinking, gambling. Yeah. So all this is very bad. So once you stop that, you become a good person. And then you control your own speech. So have to train yourself. Always speak the truth. Always say the truth. If you can't say, you keep the truth in yourself and don't say anything, keep quiet. But if there is any chance to say anything, you can say only the good thing. Have a pleasant word, Supachita Jayavaja. This is one of the highest blessings in Buddhism. So, very kind person, and always has pleasant word, and always helpful, and always humble, you are a very successful person. Good boy and good girl. So this as a lay person who have to live what they call a worldly life, but deep in your mind you must understand the teaching of the Lord Buddha that separation one day would take place. You have to go alone. So they said that as if when you're dying. What they say that the four elements are supporting you, like carrying you all along, followed by the three persons. Here symbolize impermanent suffering and non-self. And then leading you is the two persons, symbolizing the good karma and the bad karma. So you are sitting on the penguin, you know? You're sitting there. So two persons, the right way and the right and the left. The left to the bad place, the right to the good place. Or the two ways, up to the heaven, down to hell. So the one who make a decision is your own mind. So have to be very careful which one is leading you. So if you do the good karma all the time, then you are what you call familiar, or you are used to the way of your thinking, your thought, and this good thing would lead you to the good place. That's for the normal person. But when you come to the higher level, you have to understand what you call the craving for the sensual pleasures. No matter how much you have, they are temporary, they're not that long, don't stay long, rising up, stay for a while, and passing away. All the time. There's no way to satisfy yourself. What they say that three things are hard to satisfy. One, akikanto, that the five, will never be satisfied with the five root. No matter how much you put into it, it's not enough for the five. The other is the ocean. No matter how much you put water in it, the ocean never satisfied. And then the other is the greedy person. No matter how much you give, no way to be satisfied. So once you understand that, there's no way for me to make myself happy as far as what they call the material is concerned. I have to make my mind content and happy and practice more meditation. So craving for the sensual pleasures, craving for the existence, to be in like in any kind of position, to get any position like that. And the other, what they say, the craving for the non-existence. When we have what we want, and then we like to get rid of it. These are the kind of craving. So all what you call these are the cause of the suffering. So if you remove the craving, the attachment from the sensual pleasures, what they say, from the form, from the sound, smell, taste, and touch, and thought, the end of the suffering appear in the corner. So close. So once there is no attachment to that, to this kind of sensual pleasures, the end of the suffering coming to us. So we have to understand. And that what the main one in our life, no matter where we are, is the end, what you call it, our aim is the end of the suffering. Nibbana. If you see the people, especially in the Southeast Asia or Theravada, when they give anything, they always say the word Nibbana Pachayohutu. May this kind of good action lead me to Nibbana, the end of the suffering. That they say again and again, because that's what they call bliss. If you still born as human being, if you're still in the what you call the form or in the deity, in the highest deity, you have to come back to this world again and again and suffer endlessly. So it's not good. Have to come to the end of the suffering. That's the best. The best. So that's our aim. And then again, when we come to the training ourselves, Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. That's the full, what you call the fourth one. The middle path or the winning way. So in great detail, we have the, what you call Samadhi. Right view, right understanding. That means right understanding, understanding the full truth. The suffering, the cause of the suffering, the end of the suffering, and the path leading to the end of the suffering. Understand the full truth. So always remember, no? As a Buddhist student or those who practice wisdom, you have to understand this. Thinking over and over, see the suffering arising in yourself, physically and mentally, and how to let go of it is abundant for all of us. This kind of knowledge is wonderful. You have to give what you call give this kind of knowledge to yourself. Learn from the teacher, listen to the teachers, so you can learn and practice yourself. No one can do on your behalf. So the understanding the four truths, but once when it comes to the practice itself, what you call the right thought is the one. In practicing Buddhism, nothing else, just the right thought. How to keep the wholesome thought right through from moment to moment, every day, without stopping, keeping that right thought. I mean, that thought away from greed, from hatred, and from ignorance. The thought that full of compassion and kindness to all other living beings. So when we practice Buddhism, we use our own mind. What they say, mind is master, mind is the chief. Everything is come from the mind. Everything comes from the mind. So once the mind is good, that means the action will be good, the speech will be good, and the consequence is the happiness follow. So here, even in a verse like this, you can see samadhi, the meditation and wisdom sit at the top, coming down to morality because of good action and good speech, and then the consequence of morality, meditation, wisdom is the happiness that follow you. But on the contrary, if you don't look after it properly, ignorance is in the mind. Bad action would follow, and bad speech would follow, and then the suffering would follow you. So that you yourself, your own mind, you yourself can be the place, like your body and speech, your body and your mouth can be the place of morality, or your mind can be the place of meditation and wisdom, or your body is the place of the trouble, or is the place of the suffering. So once it comes to practice, you yourself is the, what they call, have to do your own effort. Nobody can do on your behalf. So right understanding, right thought, classify as wisdom, the top part of Buddhism. But sometimes they say this first because in any level of the practice, wisdom is required. So from the first one, from generosity, morality, you need wisdom to look after. And then at the end of the practice, great wisdom is required. Even in the middle of the path, wisdom is there. No, what they call, no chance, no time to be stupid. Have to be wise, right through, you know. So wisdom have to be there. And then it come to the practice as samma, what you call, moral conduct. Here, right speech comes first, before the right action, and then right livelihood. So have to get a good control over the bodily action and the speech. They call the body and the mouth. This can be the what you call the factory of the suffering. So morality comes from here. Right action comes from the body. Right speech comes from the mouth. So we have to be, whatever we say, always true, away from gossiping, away from what you call harsh speech, away from empty talk. So train yourself. Have to train. Otherwise, it come quick, so quick, like the bad word, you know. Then you are in anger. So no good. Have to keep quiet. Don't say. So when it comes to the practice, say when we are living together as partner, as friend, the first rule, as I told you many times,
no physical violence whatsoever. Oh, if there is any physical violence, police is involved. No good. No good. And then no bad speech at any time. So if you have partner, boyfriend or girlfriend, oh, don't say the bad words. Otherwise, oh, there's no time to be together. Bad words, you know, like they said that good words, when you listen to the talk, you know, it won't last that long. But the bad one can remember for the last, for the rest of your life. When somebody says something, that's what they call the negative mind. Never say bad word to anyone, anybody. But now you come to the, what you call, the training that you have to make yourself holy. Yourself is the, like a weekend, the seat of the enlightenment. Yourself is like the Buddha to be. Yourself is the Bodhisattva. So you have to train yourself not to harm and hurt anyone, anybody, physically and verbally. So once you do the good action, you feel good. So when you are harmless, your action can be notified, can be known to many living beings. You walk through the forest, the animal there come to know that you are a harmless person. They know you very well. You go to the water, the fish there know very well. Because the what you call, the knowing mind is to every living being. They can know what's happening. So if you're a very good person, wherever you sit, wherever you live, it helps what will bring peace and harmony to many living beings. You are a good person. In fact, we survive because of the good people. If the bad people are around, we cannot survive. So to stop the tragedy, like the cyclone and the flood and the fire, there's only way to stop it, through behaving ourselves, so that we can get the blessing from the heaven. Human beings can't do that much to stop the fire, can't do anything. The police can tell you to run away, but no way to stop the fire. Water is not enough, so have to run away. But if there is something, what is that? What we need? The ghost, the spirit, they can help us. Just turn the wind away. That's it. Turn the wind away, and then we will be safe. In fact, the temple in Melbourne, one is the Bodhiwan Monastery, away from the bushfire, but keep coming that direction. But once it comes to the mountain, it turns itself away. So the temple is safe. One is Chi Kwang Sunim, she Australian and now ordained as a Korean nun, and having the place in that area, King Lake. The other, the temple, belongs to the Chinese monk. And three of the places so far has been saved from the fire. No chance to stop them physically. But if the deity, if any external power help us, we can be saved. So why is necessary to behave ourselves? Very important. Yeah, like I always, that from the tsunami last time, Penang is safe. A few people die, but how come Phuket, you know, a lot of Buddhist people there have great suffering. When I went there, I come to know myself, that's my theory. Maybe I'm wrong, or maybe not true. I come to know that place is good for mining. For a long, long time. So the mountain has been destroyed, and then come along this, what they call the tourist people, who build up the place so nice, so beautiful. They have to cut the mountain and have to do many things. on the top of that, there are so many people, young and old, who enjoy themselves, expose their body to the public, in hundreds of them like that, along the beach. You think you have a good time, but when you think of that, the Buddhist way, maybe people might have different ideas. The deity never happy with that. The ghost never happy with that. But if you do anything good for the happiness of others, and if you have any chance to transfer me, this good deed done by me, transfer to you, may all living beings around here be very happy. But if you just lie down on the beach, expose yourself to the sun and all that, no, you do the wrong thing. No, better meditate. but that's the way of the world, no? How we can do, we can't do anything. And then, if you don't believe this, this is the story the monk told me. What happened? There was a family. He has Thai wife, and the husband is English. So the wife in Krabi, 2 days after the tsunami, she dreamed of a young lady come to her in a very desperate situation, and she died from England. Come to her and tell her the truth that she died in that big wave, and could she help her? Yeah, this she told her address in England, her mother, and then the telephone number. Please ring my mother. Let her know that I'm dead, and don't come to see me by body because my body is very bad condition. Don't come. What I like to do is you help to have a cremation, and if she want, the ash and then can send back to me. But do in the Buddhist way, she said like that. So I have been here, I like your tradition. So when the lady wake up and talk to her husband, what to do? So clear, the telephone is there, the address is there. She said, oh, we try. If there's someone answer the phone, and then we go ahead. Otherwise, just stay. Just a dream. So when she phone, when he phone up, the mother answered the phone. Everything is exact according to what she said. So she cried, but anyway, because the family would look after the body and went to see the body, and the body had to be identified as her body. And did all the job for her. And after some time, she come back again. After transferring the man in very good position, very nice looking person. And thank you for her help and all the things. But this time, I will return your good deed. I will give you a good luck, okay? And and then she don't know what to do. What kind of good luck? She went to buy the lotto. and what happened? The first prize. That's the true story. And then from the money, she do all the what they call charitable for the happiness of others. So that this thing, we cannot, you know, like I hear ourselves. If somebody who is in this kind of position can be very helpful. So please do your best to be a good person, living a moral life and practice a generosity. It will be very helpful, and that would affect so many living beings unknown and unseen by us. If we just look after ourselves without thinking of them, when the time comes, cannot stop the trouble. So back to the morality, right action and right speech and right livelihood, this is a must. Because this is what we call morality, meditation is wisdom. They say they interdependent, they interrelated. They cannot be separated. So good meditation based on good moral conduct. And good wisdom, great knowledge based on good morality and good meditation. So only when you are a very good person, very peaceful and calm person, you can see the truth. So once you understand it, when you look at the truth, not with the what you call unhappy mind, you look at it, you have what you call the sorrow that all these things happening to the people and everyone, but at the same time, it inspire you to practice the teaching. So you come to realize that knowing mind never die with the body. So when you purify the knowing mind with morality, with meditation and wisdom, you gain what is called the bliss and enlightenment at the end. So morality is a must. Based on this, you can have a very good meditation. And then what you call meditation, right effort, right mindfulness and right concentration. This we call the meditation. Right effort here is not the physical effort, it's not the verbal effort, it's the what you call the mental effort, that how to go ahead with the practice with your own mind. Stay away from distractions and worry. Once it comes to this, always remember, away from liking and disliking, away from sleepiness, away from doubt, so the mind get better and better. So when it comes to this, what you should know is that what they say, originally the mind is bright and shining. So the body itself, just like the mind itself, is bright and shining like a pure and clean water. So when you take the water from the river, then when the dust and the dirt settle down, the water become clearer and clearer, better and better. So the dust and the dirt is separate from the water. So by its own self, by its own mind, no trouble at all, bright and shining. Just because of the dust and the dirt, then you have trouble. So once you understand that, now I have my own knowing mind. So I have to be very mindful when liking and disliking come. So liking and disliking, like what you call the guest that come to our house. So don't entertain them. Let them go. So when the guests come, this is spiritually, you know, let them go. Let the liking and disliking go. And then once you do that, you have less greed, less anger. So your mind become purer and purer. So this is the thing, no? Practice in Buddhism, in Zen Buddhism, in Theravada, or even in Mahayana Buddhism. They understand this. So they see that we actually, the knowing mind is the seed of enlightenment. That seed, if you look after, it grow well, bring happiness and peace. But if that seed is not well looked after, it create the trouble. So originally the mind is bright and shining. So why, when it come to that, meaning, you know, the six patriarchs, remember that? What they say, what he said, that the other said that originally what he said that the body is just like the tree, the mind is the mirror. Let us make effort to clean it every day so the dust will not sit on it. For all of us to take this stand, this position, this body is the tree of enlightenment. I can come to the goodness in my life, or I come to the enlightenment because of having this body as human being. And the mind is just like the mirror. So I have to clean it every day. The dust and the dirt will not sit on it. But when it comes to the truly enlightened one, he said differently. In fact, what he said, the body is not the tree at all. And the mind is not the mirror. And then where a dust and dirt would sit on it. That for the patriarch, who attain enlightenment. He said so. But for us who are struggling, the body is the tree of enlightenment. The mind is the mirror. We're always saying to ourselves like that, so that we make effort. So once we make effort, once the mindfulness stands, this is a very important thing in the practice. So when you have anger, if the anger get hold on you, and then the only way you have to bear it, and then sooner or later, if you don't develop it, you don't make it grow, it goes away. As everything on earth is subject to change and impermanence. But once the mindfulness comes, soon as the anger arises, you come to know. And immediately, because you understand it, it falls away. It stops. It doesn't dry up, doesn't cause your trouble at all, because you come to know it. So it takes a lot of time, a long time before you can. The thing is that when you are in anger, you have to be there. But if you don't do anything to make it strong and make it grow, sooner or later it stops itself, like everything else. But if you have mindfulness, it goes quickly. The same with any kind of greed, any kind of hatred, any kind of delusion, any kind of craving. As soon as you spot it, you understand it, you know it, it falls apart. So this kind of mindfulness, what you call sati, in Buddhism is very important. It goes together when it comes to the practice, sati and panya, mindfulness and wisdom. Come together. So we can say at this level, the knowing mind that doesn't achieve enlightenment, just like a naughty boy. A naughty boy, a naughty girl. So have to look after by the good father and mother. Good mother means mindfulness, good father means good wisdom. So you have to develop this. Good mindfulness and good wisdom. And the way in practice itself, what to do? Just sit back and relax. Mindfulness of the breath, practice regularly. So once you come to the single mind, you come to know that. And that moment, there is no distraction, no worry, no hindrances. Your mind get better and better, very peaceful, very calm. Because like a needle, very sharp needle, cannot hold any sand or a grain of sand. Cannot, because the mind can think of one thing at a time. So this also a very beautiful thing, that once it can think of one thing at a time, if you think of the good thing again and again, over and over, or continuously, you are in a very good, what you call, position. So happiness and peace will follow you. So the mind can think of one thing at a time. And then if you think of the bad thing, the good one will not help you, cannot protect you. So it depends like this. Like anything that we put into this knowing mind. So if the good one gets stronger and stronger, would come out first, would show itself more open. So anything that weak would be hidden away. So if you don't practice the teaching, no morality, no meditation, no wisdom, greed, hatred, ignorance would show itself more often, causing suffering to ourselves. But if you are a good person, practice morality, meditation, and wisdom, this good thing would come out as peace and happiness for yourself and for all other living beings. So have to do it again and again. So never forget in your daily life, when you are alone by yourself, or in early morning, or at any time, or before you go to sleep, practice meditation. Make yourself free from any distractions and any worries. Or if you can have a strong faith in the practice, try to purify yourself before you go to sleep. repeating the five precepts and take the rule to train myself not to do any killing, not to do any stealing, not to commit sexual conduct, not to tell lie, not to drink intoxicating drink. So repeat, and then you practice meditation. If you practice with the Buddha word Buddha, you do so, and then you fall asleep. That means you are with the strong morality, with the precepts. So if anything happened to you when you are sleeping, you are protected because you have a good precepts. And suppose you die, the only way to go is the heaven. No other way, because the precept is not broken. When you are sleeping with any cloth, when you wake up, the same cloth. So you sleep with the precept. When you wake up, you wake up with the precept. So you have a chance to go to the good place because the good moral conduct with you. And then in the daytime, since you have a good night, what we call that true good night. Then in the daytime, make sure that in the morning you have good morning away from causing trouble to others with a good precept. In the afternoon, you do the same thing. Oh, you live a very wonderful life from day to day, as if you are in the water, in the heaven. No trouble for anyone, anybody. So you have to practice that mindfulness. And then when mindfulness gets stronger and stronger, the good concentration. So that kind of deep wonderful meditation is a must, because once it comes to the true cause of the suffering, what you call here is the asava, like the latent or the dormant defilement deep down. So you have a good, must have a good meditation to help. With the good wisdom, you can let go of that. And all in all, anything at all, come from your own mind. Like say, when the monk who can come to the level of one anagami, non-retainer, when they give up all kind of pleasures, and they do like this, they see the body, because the body is the place of the pleasures, the body of themselves and the body of others. So they see as it is, not just as what they call the according to the convention word, this beautifulness, and they see the truth, the bones and all the blood and everything inside. They see that very clear with a good meditation. And when they see other, they see with that. So once they see that, they say, oh no, there's no love for me. I will run into trouble, because this is the no. It's not good. And then see again over and over. One day he come to realize that what really attachment is something that comes from his mind. So the attachment withdraw from every kind of form, coming up into his own mind. And then he come to realize, oh dear, the cause of trouble is in with me. So once they understand that, they can let go what they call the attachment to the sensual pleasures. They become anagami. Once they come to that, they go to the highest heaven. If you are not that good, say you are in the lower heaven, you have a chance to get heat from the fire of lust and anger and delusion that's happening in this world. You know? So when you go to the heaven, go straight up to the top. You know? Don't stay close to this world, because this is the place of the trouble. Here, from here, we can go high up or we can go down. So, but the Buddha always come to this world, so we have a chance to understand and practice what he taught us. So it's very important that we understand the teaching, and once they have good concentration, and then the wisdom get better and better. Once the wisdom is there, and to let go is not that difficult. So the suffering, have to understand, the cause of the suffering, have to give up or give it away. and the end of suffering have to be realized, and the path have to be developed. So our duty is to develop the path and let go what the we call the cause of the suffering. But when you come to the practice, once we see suffering as suffering, like you see the fire as the fire, you won't touch it. Not touching it means that you pull your hand away from the heat. That means you pull away from the cause of the trouble. So when you further away, the end of the suffering appears. And the way you do that is the path lead you to the end of the suffering. So it's in just in one action. So this what is called the fourth truth taught by the Buddha. So I do my best to explain to you what I have heard from the teachers. So if you have any question to ask, you might do so. Yes?
You mentioned four elements. Is mind of the four elements?
Yeah. You mean the honor?
You said that the mind is attached to four elements.
Yeah.
Is the mind of the four elements?
The mind, what you call the knowing mind, is the one that what you call like that attached to the four elements. So once we remove that, once the knowing mind removed from that attachment, so there's no suffering.
It becomes the original mind.
Yeah.
Is that sort of like the mind of the child?
Like the mind of the child like this, doesn't have a chance to grow. It's going to grow, but this well developed through morality, meditation, and wisdom. They are different. So the mind of the child is still growing, have a chance to grow, but this has been purified, have been developed through morality, meditation, and wisdom. In the very better form, what the teacher said, I have heard them. Inside me is like it's shining, but his body is frail and getting old. But inside there is the shining. That means that mind has been well developed, so no cause of the suffering, no greed, no anger, and no delusion. But as far as the anger is concerned, because he can use that, but wherever he use it, say you appear to you as he's angry, but it doesn't affect his mind. As soon as he stopped that, there is no effect. Very peaceful, very calm. But for a human being like us, it causes trouble. We say something to someone, but after saying it, it's there, like that. So very very helpful to understand this, that knowing mind is the one. So we can say that there's the body. There's the thought, the process of what we call the thought, and the knowing mind, and the nibbana. That means that if this knowing mind understand and let go of the body, let go of the thought, the mental activities, and all this, you know, and then that knowing mind become nibbana, where they come to the end of the suffering. That knowing mind itself. So all of us have this, but it stays with the old dust and dirt, you know. So why we are in suffering? Every one of us, and this never die. When we get sick, get old, we are in anger and hatred, this knowing mind is there. We have compassion, this knowing mind is there. We always have it, but the feeling come and go. Anger come and go. Happiness come and go. But this no mind knows right through how to look after that. That's the main one. Away from causing trouble to the other. why is morality there? Because the knowing mind is the chief, is the master. So he, if the knowing mind is not good, then the body can do the wrong thing, the speech can do the wrong thing, and all sorts of mental activities can create the trouble. So once the knowing mind know that, keep morality, make sure the body doesn't do anything wrong, the speech doesn't do anything wrong, as the wholesome thought all the time, then one day it comes to perfection. And in practice like this, we have to let go the bad one first. All the bad action have to be out, and perfect the good one. The good action, the right speech, right action, right livelihood, it have to be there. And then right mindfulness, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration, and even good, right thought and right knowledge have to be there. But at the end of the day, when you cross over, they said that, say the crossover, you have to let go the boat. You have to let go the bridge. You have to let go the ladder. That means no attachment even to that goodness done by you.
When
they cross, when it comes to the end of the suffering, you let go all, even what they call the middle path, the middle way, you don't have to worry. Of course, as a good person, you maintain a good rule, good practice, but you don't have to depend on it anymore because it helps you to come to perfection. So like this, the number, you know, we write the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. When it comes to the 10, we say the perfection because there is 1 and a 0 there. So that means when we do something good, if we get rid of that ego, all the goodness done by us stand by itself. We don't have any trouble. So when you wipe off that number 1, so it becomes 0, it becomes empty. Or we can say that if you like to make this room empty, you take the chair and the table one by one. But to make it completely empty, you yourself have to be out. That means let go of the bad one first, do all the good things, but at the end of the day, let go of the what you call that good action done by you. So it stands by itself. It becomes what you call empty. But then emptiness has very good meaning. Very good, because what you call the perfection. So everything that comes from there. So why when we do good ourselves, it affects everyone. Every deity, every living being, every Buddha. It's the same thing. So when you do anything good, and if you do anything bad, it against all good people in heaven, all good people on earth. So what we do can be appreciated by all, can have suffering by all. So we have to be very careful. So why good morality, good meditation, and good wisdom is a must. So do it slowly, walk up the path. Anything that say about morality, many people say, oh, I can't stop drinking because of the social party and so on. You know? So do your best, minimize it. You know? One day, just let go of it. When it comes to letting go, I always like to say like this. In the level of generosity, you let go the material gift for the happiness of others. So in terms of food, in terms of clothes, in terms of accommodation, in terms of medicine, keep doing it. Through this kindness, you have plenty of friends, plenty of people. So if you become the Buddha in the future, you have so many disciples. Or if you are a good person, you have so many friends because of the generosity and kindness done by you. They appreciate, they come to you, they listen to you because you are good to them. So a good person who is very helpful in the society, have to practice generosity again and again, again and again. So easy to do, no? Not that, oh, I have plenty of money, then I can do something. Otherwise, I won't do. Start from there. Very simple thing. Say, if there is any coffee, any biscuit, and there is the good practice in there too. Say, if you would like to get the best of your own generosity, always give the best. Say, if there is good seat here, good chair here, give to your friend first. If good coffee, give to your friend first. Anything good, give to them first. And then you give the best, you get the best. That's the law of the karma. You give the best, you get the best. If you very humble like that, the more you humble, the more people respecting you. So let go of the give. And then when you come to the to make that generosity perfect, you have to live a moral life. No way to harm others physically or verbally. Because against your own principle, your generosity and kindness, you can't do. The teaching is one. When you practice one, you practice everything. So away from harming others physically and verbally, you are so kind and so good to so many living beings. From generosity, only the person who receives generosity from you can acknowledge. But when it comes to this morality, you are notified, known by all living beings. Just sit in the forest without having bad thought to anyone, anybody, without harming anything. The deity, the spirit, all cow animal will come to know this man is a harmless person. The mind can know. The mind can understand. Even the tiger would not harm. But you have to be careful. But it would not harm. Even the snake would not harm you because your strong moral conduct always protect you. That means the scope of what the power is far and greater than generosity. But generosity brings people together, make your what you call self-respect by other living beings. But morality bring pure compassion to all living beings. And then this can be maintained easily through not harming and not causing trouble physically and verbally. But the very important part of the practice is the mind, the thought, how to make it wholesome and positive right through, full of compassion, full of kindness, full of forgiveness, full of tolerance. This is a harder part. But once you, so in the level of morality, you let go the bad action and the bad speech. So let it go again. But then when it comes to the meditation, you let go of the distractions and the worries, liking and disliking. Now the mind becomes pure. This purity, no one can come to harm and hurt you. Even the tiger, they said the snake would walk away, cannot come to that good person. There is a power there. And there was a Chinese man who lived up to, I can't pronounce his name, up to 120 years. He got beaten, beaten by, as if he dead, but he get into the what they call jhana meditation. And then in that particular moment there, he with the bodhisattva in heaven, you know, he went up there, he said, sitting so many teachers who arrived there before him, who sit there, he know them all. And he know the Maitreya, or the bodhisattva and Ananda. But when the Maitreya come, telling him, not your time yet. You have to go back and let's spread Buddhism. You have to suffer there because of Buddhism. So in that, too bad for me, but no, you have to go. And then he come down. He, at that time, I think he 110, something like that.
when he passed away, 120. So he comes out and suffered a great deal in this communist China long before this, no? So he have a chance to talk to many people, give the good teaching to many, and then Buddhism arise because of this variable, who did not leave China, a very enlightened person. So the body, once it comes to the very, there's no what you call physical pain, but when it come back out of meditation, you feel a bit, you feel that, oh, this body, they thought he died, but he didn't die. No? So good meditation can free yourself from the physical pain. But the enlightened one would not have any pain, the what they call no mental pain, no mental suffering at all. So once the mind is practiced properly, it brings a lot of happiness and peace. So let go of disliking and disliking, distractions and worry. But when you come to the what they call the level of wisdom, let go of the attachment. This is the final part. So one, the let go, and then you ask who let it go. There are two things, like you repeat Buddha, Buddha, who repeat it? Who knows it? Who let it go? The one that let it go, that one is enlightened. So we know as a baby, we know, as a boy, as a girl, and all this in suffering, we know, this knowing never dies from us. This knowing suffering is in here, happiness in here. So if you look after this properly, there's no suffering. So it's a must to understand the suffering and letting go. So why they said there is suffering, but there is no suffering. Suffering exists, the cause of suffering exists, but there is no suffering. That means if that knowing mind well look after, no more suffering. So that's the beauty of Buddhism. We are in the great sea of suffering, and yet we are not in there. We are both in the water. Okay? That knowing mind, that what's called through the ignorance that come when we are ignorant, then like we are groping in the dark. So that means good action and bad action is done by us all the time. That knowing mind, that what you call Patisanti Vinyana, that the birth consciousness is there, that knowing mind. Then when it born again, that carrying along the good and the bad, and come as human being. So have the body, what they call the physical body, and the spiritual phenomena, what they call the rupa and the nama. Once they have rupa and the nama, that means you have the process of thought and feeling and so on. Then when they have six sense, this is what we call, we have to practice the teaching once we have the sixth sense. When it comes to this level of meditation, the control of the sixth sense is a must. But it does what we call control itself once we practice meditation. So the eye doesn't see anything, the ear doesn't pay attention to any noise, so in control. If you don't practice meditation during the night, watching TV, all these things, the eyes are carried away, the mind carried away by what you see and what you hear. So why great tragedy of human beings happen because of course, it's very helpful, but at the same time, what you say, the great tragedy from this modern technology that bombard the mind of human beings. We lost the good monks and good nuns and good doggies because of this. In the past, we don't have this. The monk meditate. In the morning, they say, if the city monk, they recite the sutra. In the evening, you can hear, like in Burma nowadays, maybe less, but they always recite, and they do the chanting in the morning, evening, nothing else. If there is any entertainment at all, once or twice a year, there is some kind of entertainment outside the monastery. The young monk, young novice have a chance to have a glimpse of it or have a look, you know, but only once or twice a year. So in the, at night, nothing, no communication with the opposite sex whatsoever, you know. But nowadays, oh, television, mobile phone, talk to someone in the middle of the night. Oh, that's the tragedy, you know. So please, don't do that if you like to have good meditation. Yeah, don't talk to anyone. Keep your time positive. Don't communicate too much, you know, because the mind carried away by what you see and what you hear. If not, liking and disliking come, and always put some negative deposit in the mind. If you're not very wise, what you see create the trouble. If you like, greed. If you don't like, hatred. So always, what you call, this kind of deposit, very bad. And then when it come out, greed again, anger again. So six senses are must. As if you have, the knowing mind is the king that look after the city. So the six senses are the gate. So every gate you have to apply what they call mindfulness. So when the good thing come in, you let it come in, but if anything bad, you stop it there. But in practice itself, just mindfulness on the breath, one single mind, you're away from the trouble. So once that mind come to emptiness, that's the best. What they call one pointedness on the mind and clarity of the mind, equanimity of the mind, that is the best. So keep maintaining, look after it. So that knowing mind is the one who wandering. So many things like this happening. The story of the young girl. She died when she was 10. A very nice looking girl. One day a person had always headache all the time, migraine. And then one day this girl come, saw that he was her father in the past, and come and talk. Because this man, when he was doctor, you know, he's still alive, getting old now, and he practiced meditation, Buddho. Suddenly this girl appeared and said, you are my father in the past. Why you have trouble like this? Because you are cause trouble to the other, you are the controller of the jail in the long past. One of them, they just innocent, but because you don't understand, he died because of you. And what you have done, now you have to suffer. What he said, but in 4 years' time, the bad karma will be over. And you have to go through full operations. And this girl always, where are you? She told her story. Our house is close to the temple, and one day she too, no, on her death anniversary, she went as a young girl, went to see the monk. The monk talking, three of them. Venerable Sir, we invite you to come to our house, except what they call the dana, sangha dana. We need 5 months. You know that family. The monk said, yes, they know. So don't forget, no? 5 months are invited to come to our house tomorrow. So when the monk went there, and the father or her father very surprised, but the father did not invite a monk. And who invite you? Oh, the young girl, about 10 years old. And when the monk looked at the picture, this girl, oh no, she died. Oh, that is her anniversary. So the father, oh yeah, we have in mind, but we intend to go to the temple, but once you come here, it's okay. And now, if you go to the temple to Thailand in Bangkok, I will tell you, she has the family has built up the place where they, when the body of anyone who passed away come to have the body there and have the ceremony. You call like a small hall, and her picture is there. She, oh, very very smart. And then one day she said that, oh, I have been rushed back to that place because somebody died. They're going to transfer Mary to me, so I have to say goodbye to you there. And once when she talked, that she's sitting there, seen only by the father, nobody else. And when she talked, her voice is there. And the one who take note was so scared, you know, because the nurse and all other, you know, so scared because can't see, but the voice of the young girl. And seen only by his own father. So when the Thai come to the operation and the sickness is over. So this what they call reconfirm that the good and the bad done by us would be would belong to us. No way to escape. So the reconfirm that what we do to others always have a result. So this is just one case. So it's a very important that we understand this and we keep doing the good thing. So anything done by you, always be good in it. The world survives because of the good people. In fact, the sun and the moon, all this universe happened because what they say of the good people. We say the Buddha. Without this, there's no meaning in itself. As we say this planet. Like what they say, good valleys, good rivers, good mountains, of course beautiful in itself. But once there is no good man, good women live on it, there's no meaning. So because of the Buddha, we have this kind of planet. It helps, it beautifies the place. So remember, wherever you are, in any room, any corner, you grace the place, you beautify the place, you purify the place. So don't be naughty at any time. Okay, is that enough? Anything to announce?
Yes, so cool. We'll just make some announcements before we finish.
Hi, thank you everyone for coming for English Dharma Talk, and thank you very much, Tao Kun, for giving us the Dharma Talk. Sorry I was running a bit late. As usual, a couple of announcements before we end off. This Sunday, we have a badminton session. So it's from 11 till 1 p.m. It's going to be held in the Uni Gym Multipurpose Hall, and the contact person is Rosie. Anyone is welcome to join in. Okay. So get some exercise done, that's good. As Tao Kun mentioned, meditation is very important, so we have a couple of meditation activities coming. Every Monday, in fact, we have lunchtime meditation. So it's from 1 to 2, and it's going to be held in the Unibus Library, that's over 3 Square House. And the contact person is Mei Ling. Actually sitting right there. And as usual, every Thursday we have our Chinese Dharma Talks. So the upcoming Chinese Dharma Talk, the topic is Four Noble Truths. What a coincidence! And the speaker is Venerable Neng Rong. So 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Square House Level 2, Room 203. Contact person is Bernard, who's there. Contact person is, the contact number is there. So, as I say every week, if you're very keen on a particular topic in Chinese Dharma Talk, but you don't understand, you can always give Bernard a ring, and he can try to arrange someone to translate the talk. And next week, same time, same place, we have English Dharma Talk. The topic is Finding Peacefulness in Chaos. It's a very down-to-earth, very applicable topic, and the speaker is actually John Barclay. John Barclay is a very, he's a very mindful speaker, so he's an excellent person to give the talk on this one. You'd be surprised. It's very good. And so it's next Friday, 1st of May, 7 to 9, so same time, same place. Contact person is me, my number is there. And once again, we have a meditation workshop. This doesn't come by very often, so it's actually very, not very rare, but it's one of the activities we don't have too often. The speaker is actually Venerable Panyavaro. So that's next Saturday, and it's from 10 to 1. The venue is Goldstein 606, and the contact person is me. Sorry. Geo6. I'm sorry, Goldstein doesn't have 6 levels. I just want to add something about the meditation workshop in that Venerable Panyavaro is actually a very well-known monk. He's actually not around in the nearby areas, so it's actually a very rare opportunity that we can invite Venerable Panyavaro and that Venerable Panyavaro can actually attend. Okay, so it's actually it's a very rare opportunity, and it's a very good opportunity for everyone to just join in the meditation. And in case you're wondering, oh, am I going to sit there from 10 to 1 meditating non-stop? Well, the meditation workshop doesn't usually run like that. Normally the speaker will explain, you know, and then we'll have a meditation sessions, of course. And then there will be breaks in between. And considering it's venerable, we might actually also offer dana, am I right, maybe? Yep, so offering of dana. So practicing our generosity in that session itself. So next Saturday, meditation workshop. Okay, is there any questions about the announcements at all? No? Okay. So we'll end off the night, and before we end off, let us just pay respects to the Buddha.
Pay respect.